Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Simone Padure, and we have Christine DiDomenico and Trina Rice on with you today for the Love of Learning, Rediscovering the Joy. So very, very welcome, Trina. Thanks for coming on.
Yay! I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for asking, and I'm honored to speak today.
So this week, we're going to be talking about, because I believe this is it Autism Month? Is that Autism Awareness Month? Is that correct, ladies?
Yes, that is
yes.
Correct.
Yes, that is correct.
So we're going to be looking at the beliefs and points of view children have with autism and the many methods and techniques that are suggested by specialists, but may be things that work or don't work. And Trina is an occupational therapist, and she's been playing with the tools of access and the kids that she works with, many of whom have autism and other things going on. So if you want to take the stage, Trina, and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into using access tools and some of the stuff that you do. I know, Christine, you had three things that you told me about, that three tools, but I can't remember what they are. So if you want to fill that in, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, Trina's going to talk about a few tools of expanding the zone, communicating with pictures with kids, and some other questions that you can ask. So, Trina, you want to go ahead and tell us about yourself? Tell the listeners?
Sure. Well, I'm an access consciousness facilitator, and my background is an occupational therapist, and I have been an OT for over 18 years, and I've worked with kids of all ages and adults and families. And a lot of what I really enjoy doing is working with kids who are completely outside the box and working with what this reality would call or label with autism, Asperger's, pervasive developmental disorder, and ADD, ADHD. And I also work with a whole shenanigans of other things regarding Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, a lot of different diagnoses. And I take what I have learned. I blend like traditional occupational therapy with a lot of body work and a lot of the amazing tools of access together to just allow kids to show up for who they are and not for the diagnosis that they've been labeled with. And the results are really phenomenal and amazing. And so that's what I just wanted to talk. So that's what I do as an OT. I actually work in school systems. I work in public school systems, state school systems. I do in-home therapy. I also work in group homes with people where they reside. So I've done a lot of so-called therapy and lots of different settings with lots of different labels. And it's been an interesting journey, and I've done that for a long time. And then I have been in access for a little over 4 years. And I've always been a seeker. I've done a lot of energy work. You name it, I've probably done it. And I've taken classes in it, and I've had certifications in it. And along came, I was just listening to some telecalls one time, and I heard somebody asking lots of questions, and it just really sparked something in me. And I just had tears rolling down my face, and I was like, what is this? And so I looked a little deeper, and through that, within like a week, I was taking my first BARS class, and then I just, a week later, it's just like an ongoing thing. And, you know, I've done a lot of things, but I will say access consciousness is one of the tools that I've actually feel like I've really, I don't want to say like what, engrossed, like just totally enjoyed and have used. And it's the cool thing about it is that the tools and the techniques are so easy to use in your everyday life and to incorporate into what you're already doing. And so I started taking those tools and incorporating them into what I do as an occupational therapist. So it's been a blessing, because I guess along with that, of not only it assisting in changing the lives of those I work with, it's also changed my life, because it's given me the capacities of, well, basically acknowledging the capacities that I have that I've not ever acknowledged. And I'm still tapping into that. It's where you are willing to show up and you be this, and you don't even realize that that's what you be. So how many gifts and capacities do you guys have who are listening that you've not been willing to acknowledge, that if you are actually willing to acknowledge them and willing to start to perceive, know, be, and receive them, could totally change the way you interact with your children, with your students, with kids, with all of your relationships with total ease, and anything doesn't allow that. That's just the whole thing about it. It's just be that space of allowing that to take place. So that's a little bit about me.
I'm so glad you started with that. I think you read my mind, actually, because I was just like thinking about how I wonder how you were with kids before you found the access tools, and how access actually just gave you the permission to be more of what you were being. Did you find
Yes. And thanks, Christine. That's a great verbiage of explaining it. You know, I think a lot of times we are already being these things and we just don't allow ourselves to be them or give the permission or tap into what we really know. And that's the blessings of the tools, that it's allowed that. And it's also increased my awareness immensely. So I'm so grateful, and I'm grateful for being able to share the tools, you know, with the kids that I work with as well.
So what are some of the things that you've noticed with the kids that you work with, like the changes and things that you've noticed with the tools that you use?
Well, one thing I want to say before starting into that too is these tools really work. And they really work with every level, and I mean by level, by like, I'm just saying this for people to have the awareness around it, because we judge a lot of times that we only affect those if we hear something from them, or they're willing to communicate or say something back to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or acknowledge it in some way. And I actually, kids who are able to communicate, and I also work with kids who don't have the capacity to communicate in the way that this reality would say, meaning being able to carry on a conversation. I work with a lot of nonverbal, and I even work with a lot of kids who are in wheelchairs and have CP or something, and they're not able to even move their arms and their legs. And the tools still work on them. They still work with them. So that's what I wanted to say before that. Don't judge somebody by how are they, their physical appearance and how they show up. What if you, being you and using these tools, can actually totally be a contribution to each and every person, regardless of what their diagnosis is, regardless of what their label is, and regardless of how they show up physically? Because that's been one of the biggest gifts to me with these tools, is realizing, wow, because before that, I used to go like, what am I really doing? Like, am I even making an effect in these people's worlds? I'm like, what is this? And sometimes I still go there and I'm like, wow. And one of the first tools I wanted to talk about is expanding your zone. But I'm like, wow, just sometimes by me being there allows them to have the space that they've never been willing to have or be before. So one of the first tools that, and probably the tool that I use like nonstop, is expanding. I call it expanding your zone or being space. And that's actually like, I ask before I go into like a classroom for the day, who can I be? What energy, space, and consciousness can I be? To be the energy, space, and consciousness required for these students with total ease, or for these kids, or whoever it is. So, like, I go in and I literally, it's kind of like wiping out everything you've got going in your into your world and pushing down your barriers and completely expanding out and just be bigger than the size of the room that you're in, bigger than the size of the building, the house, the school, whatever it is, and keep going all the way down into the earth, out into the sky, and being that space, and then showing up. And I show up in a kid's role, and I'm like, hi, how are you today? And when you're that space, you show up without judging. You show up without judging them for the labels that they be, without all of the conclusions and all the points of views. And when you can be that, that is such a gift, because there's not many times that somebody will show up in their world without looking at them with all these conclusions. And I would say that's probably one of the biggest gifts that I've gotten from using the access tool, is that, you know what, regardless if I actually feel like I'm doing a whole lot, I'm showing up in this person's world without judging them. And there's not many people that they have that will do that. And that's what I've noticed has made the big difference of, like, you know, when you walk into a room and, like, I can walk into a room and kids will just start laughing. And that's, like, by being the space of that. So that's one tool, is really expanding your space, expanding out, being space. And what I've noticed with a lot of the kids that I work with like autism, because they're so aware and they pick up on so many thoughts, feelings, and emotions from everything and everybody around them, that sometimes their zone gets collapsed, meaning they get contracted or they get squished or they're like squished in a box.
So I have a question about – sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I had an experience lately where I had this young guy. He comes to us out just for one class, like just for an English class. And so I noticed that when he's at home doing the class, there's an ease in his world, and he easily interacts with the rest of the students and with myself, and it's just fun and easy and good times, right? Well, easy is maybe putting it too lightly, but it's fun. And I noticed that when he's in school, there's this disengagement, and I was like, I wonder what tool I can use, because it's like he checks out.
Well, the tool that I have seen work, that works, well, it's trial and error, and it's playing with it also, but using that, expanding. And then I ask, once I've expanded out and I've been in that space, and I feel like what you just said, Simone, where there's somebody that they're kind of checked out and they're not present, I will ask, where are you? I can say their name, and I'll be like, where are you? And I'm not making them wrong for not being, whether that is not in their body or checked out in someplace else. It's just asking. And when you ask, you energetically, without thinking about it, can be aware of where they're at. They could totally be, I don't know, like how many miles away playing on another playground somewhere. Yeah. And so by doing that, you kind of call them out. But the other part of it that I have used that's really assisted is I'll be like, where are you? And would you be willing to be there and also be here with me?
Well, that's a good one. Yeah.
And because when you ask that, you're giving them permission to still be wherever it is that they require and desire, and you're allowing them to be who they are, where they are, and be with you all at the same time. And you're not limiting them to only be with you in that space.
Yeah.
You're allowing them to be everywhere.
And you're also acknowledging that capacity to be everywhere.
yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
So so that has assisted me a lot with, like, okay, yeah, you can be there and still be here and do what's required and be wherever you want to be. And how cool is that, that you can be in how many places at one time? So thanks for asking that.
And that's so different.
And that's the gift. Is showing up and allowing that to show up differently.
Well, and you're not asking the kid, like, focus, you know, stay here. Like, you know, you're not enforcing. It's a choice.
Yeah, it is a choice.
Trina, can you talk about how that, that when we tell a kid to focus, what that does? How that contracts a kid?
Yeah, what I get is that it really does contract them. It shoves them back into a box because you're looking at someone who functions at the speed of space. Like, they're so mm-hmm. fast and they're so aware 360 degrees around them. You're basically asking mm-hmm. them to shut off all of that, all their awarenesses, and to sit here and try to focus on one little thing. And most of them aren't able to do that. And then they're made wrong for not being able to do that. And then they go into the wrongness in themselves. So, like, one of the things I've also said to, like, a lot of the parents and stuff when I have a chance to communicate with them is, like, hey, what if you allow them to have their iPad and have some music on or watch TV and have all of that going on at the same time where they're trying to do homework? And it's like, oh, I'm like, just try it and just mm-hmm. see. And see if that creates more ease in your world and their world, and if it gets done a lot faster than trying to get them to focus on one single thing, because these kids are not linear. They do not function in the linear from A to B to C. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, working at APS, I mean, I notice that a lot. Like, our kids will be writing their project, the television's on, and you know, there's something else going on their computer, and, you know, they're able to get things done, and I'm just like, wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Well, it's kind of funny, because one of the other tools I wanted to share was about communicating the pictures. I was actually out doing an evaluation on a boy, and I don't know, I would say he was like, I can't remember, I think he was about 7 or 8 years old, and he was, oh my God, he was hilarious. I think he had the diagnosis of autism or Asperger's, mm-hmm. but he was super brilliant, just functioning way beyond this reality. And he was in a private school, just having a hard time. And, like, you know, even something as simple as getting dressed, of putting his clothes on, is a challenge for him. And his dad was just talking about the morning routine and how hard it is to get everything up and going. And our evaluation was complete. So he was in the same vicinity, the same room, but he was clear off in the corner doing something else. And I was talking to his dad, and I said, you know, I was just saying to him, I said, you know, but what if you were willing to, like, just instead of, like, you know, knocking down his door and yelling at him every morning about what he needed to do, what if you just showed up with a picture, kind of like a movie reel, and you did it really super fast, and you went through the whole thing of what needed to be done. Like, you know, you need to get your clothes on, you need to brush your teeth, you need to go get your breakfast, you need to get your backpack, everything that you need to have, get your lunch, everything you need to have for the day. But don't do it linearly. Just, like, take all of that, put it all together really fast in one big picture and send it to him. And he's like, his dad's like standing there like, what? And the little boy comes over and he goes, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when I play on my iPad and I'm doing my video games, and some of my video games, they're in Spanish, and I don't really know what they're saying, but I totally know what they're saying because I get the picture, because that's all I need is picture. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I told his dad, I'm like, did you just hear what he said? He just reinstated everything I just told you. And his dad was just standing there with his mouth dropped open like, what? So that's another gift, is that they're so fast and words slow them down a lot. So what if actually using pictures, and it can be like so simple. And a lot of times it's not a thinking about how it occurs. It's just a doing it. Like, I asked one of the kids that I work with who is nonverbal and has autism, and he's gotten to the point where he can type a little bit on an iPad. And I was asking him one time, I'm like, so what do you know about communicating? And what do you know about, like, pictures? He's like, well, it's really easy. He typed, it's super easy. It's really fast. And I'm like, so can you give me an example? He's like, well, if you need, if you need to rest, you just send a picture of sleeping. And it was just so funny at the time. I don't have the exact words that he used, but it was like that. You just, if you need to rest, you just send a picture of sleeping. That it's like, oh yeah. And we want to make it way more complicated than it is. And so that's what he was getting at too, is that it works there so fast. It works to communicate in pictures versus in words.
And the thing is, if we start looking at where we already do this, like with little kids, babies that don't speak, and how we communicate with them energetically all the time. We know when they need their diaper change or when they need to be fed, and it's all energetic, and we're willing to have it then. But then when they speak, we don't realize that we can continue to communicate with them that way, which is pretty cool.
It's interesting because we were having a conversation with a parent about, sending pictures. And she just was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I said, well, the thing that helped me most work with kids that are on the spectrum, and myself, because I'm also on the spectrum, is working with animals, because I got a better sense of myself when I was around animals, particularly horses, and I got the sense of me and the space that I am. And I also found, and this is way before Axis, I was in high school at the time, and I was playing with this idea of sending my horse pictures of what I wanted her to do. And so I would just sit there, and before I would, do this pattern or whatever I wanted her to do, I would just send her the pictures, and then I would ask her to move forward, and she knew exactly what she needed to do. And it was always ease, whereas if I was pushing her and, not giving her very clear instructions, which really that's the pictures, if you give them a download of all that they need to know, they're just like, oh, yeah, I can do that. So it's very cool.
Yeah, and I wanted to share, like, the boy that I was just talking about, he is autism. He has autism, that's his diagnosis, but he is brilliant. He really is nonverbal. The only thing I think I've ever heard him say is hi, and occasionally he will say mom, and it's very not clear. However, he communicates so clearly with just like energetic communication that's beyond the words, and with his facial expressions and everything else. And he has learned to basically read on his own and also to type on his iPad. And we were typing one time, and I was asking him about, if you could share, something with teachers and parents and people, just anybody and everybody, what would you like to say to them in terms of communicating and communicating without words? And this is what he typed, which I don't know. It just makes me cry every time I read it. He typed, I get mad when others don't hear me talk and say and think that I'm stupid because I do not talk. We should not have to use words to express ourselves. Get over it. Be aware. Be smart. And listen to the vast space very loud, just as I did from right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So it is really amazing when you actually start to realize, and even with that too, with communicating with the pictures, it's also trusting what you know, because I still do. I second guess myself when I get a picture in my head, or when I'm typing, like for instance with him on the iPad, I'm like, okay, was that my thought? Was that his thought? Whose thought was that? Because they're so fast, and sometimes he won't complete a sentence because he's wrote enough that he gives me the picture and he knows that I've gotten it, and I may not have fully gotten it the way he thinks I have, so he won't complete the sentence, and then I'll have to ask him to complete the sentence by typing. But like just as an example, like one time I was sitting there beside him and we were typing and we were doing some work, and I kept getting in my head that I needed to go to the bathroom, And I even looked at him, like, I don't need to go to the bathroom. And pretty soon, then he pulled out, he also has a pocketbook. And so he pulled out a pocketbook, and his pocketbook has a bunch of, like, pictures and icons in it to represent different things. Like, it's got drink, bathroom, food, some couple other things. And he pulled it out, and he pointed to bathroom. And I'm like, oh, you're funny. You have to go to the bathroom. I don't have to go to the bathroom. And it was just because he had already communicated via picture that he needed to go to the restroom. And I was like, I don't need to go to the bathroom. That's not normal. I'm like, why am I thinking I need to go to the bathroom? I didn't need to go to the bathroom. And then I'm like, oh, he needs to go to the bathroom. So how fast are we at picking this stuff up that we've really not even allowed ourselves to perceive and to know that we get that? It's a knowing, and we get it at super speed.
Well, and it's funny you say this, because I was wondering why this young man that I've got in middle school, he will, because we're an online school, so they can mute their audio or not. And because he's doing it from his high school or his middle school, he's often on mute because there's background noise and stuff. But he'll come on and he'll be like, and then he'll mute himself. And then I'm like, what did you just say? But then I just got what you were saying about they're so fast that it's like, he's already communicated what he thinks he's communicated, and then he muted himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
and they do that. And sometimes you can get it, and the times that I don't get it, like, I will say, okay, look, I know you're so fast, and you're way faster than me, so could you please slow down a minute, or could you please just finish your sentence, could you type it out for me or give it to me in another way that I get it? And when I ask him, then he usually will take the time to type it out, or I'll get it in another way. But sometimes they don't recognize how fast that they are, that sometimes we don't get it as fast as them. I'm like, wow, how cool is that? And just by asking and sharing that with them, bringing awareness to it, it can change it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's such a gift for that acknowledgement piece for them that, you know, you are so fast. I'm a little slow here, so help me out. So it's not making them wrong, and it's acknowledging the talent that they have.
Yeah. Well, do we have much more time left? Because I was going to share another tool, but I didn't know how much time we had.
Why don't you go ahead? We have a few minutes, but
super speed. One of the other things that there's so many tools, it's hard to limit it down. But one of the other ones is like, a lot of times I ask when I'm in a school or something, you have to be. It's also being aware wherever you're at that they are aware, like I said, of 360 degrees around all the time. So they're very apt at picking up on everybody else's stuff. And you will know that by when you walk in, they can tell you what kind of day you're having by the way they respond to you. So that's why dropping the barriers and expanding out and being the space that I talked about before is such a contribution. But there are those times when there's, you know, tantruming or behavior things start showing up. And one of the tools that I use with that is I will ask, who are you being or what are you being? Because sometimes who doesn't work. Sometimes it's a what. And it, most of the time, and it takes sometimes a few things, like I'll usually say their name and I'll be like, Anna, who are you being? In the middle of it, and I'm not judging them for whatever they're going through. It's just acknowledging, like, hey, who are you being? And then I let it sit for a minute, and I might say, if you were being Anna, who would you be? And I did this with, I was at school, this has been a while ago, but there's a school, at school I was working one day, and there was a substitute teacher, and this kid was just being deviant. And just being behavioral for no reason, basically just who knows. But anyway, everything, like, you know, knocking over furniture, pinching, pulling hair, just doing lots of things that wasn't totally typical. And finally, and even threw herself on the floor. And I finally said, she was on the floor, and I walked over to her and I said, Anna, who are you being? And she's like, "Wah!" And like, got even louder. And I just said, "Who are you being?" And I walked away. And even with my back turned to her, I said, "If you were being you, who would you be?" And I just got quiet. I walked out of her space and I started interacting with another child. And it took her a while, but she was laying on the floor. She finally sat up and she's like, because I had walked by her to go get something, and she goes, "I'm sorry, I Anna," meaning because she didn't have, you know, she was basically, her vocabulary was minimal too, but basically she was like, "I'm sorry." And she acknowledged, "I'm Anna now." And I said, "Thank you. Thank you for being you. And you can be you eating with changes because of the substitute teacher." And that was that too. And then she was fine for the rest of the day. But it's just acknowledging that. And that's another great tool to ask is, who are you being, or what are you being? And if you were being you, who would you be? Yeah.
Well, thank you, Trina. If people have questions, can they reach out to you? Is there a way that they can reach out to you to contact you for more information?
Yes, they can reach me at, you can find where I post classes and stuff at trinarice@accessconsciousness.com. My email that you can get a hold of me is accesstrinar@yahoo.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I have my Facebook page, Trina Rice, and I also have a business page with my company, and it's Harmony Therapeutics, LLC. And that's all on Facebook. So those are the ways you can reach me. And yeah, I really enjoy working with all kids, adults and kids of all kinds.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And
thank you.
You're welcome. If anyone would like more information about the Access Possibility School, we use these tools that Trina was talking about in our school. We have kids of all different needs, and our website is accesspossibilitieschool.com. You can find out about our full-time programs, part-time programs, tutoring, extracurricular activities, and we also have an open house coming up on May 7th that you can register for. Any last words, Simone or Trina?
No, I think you said it all. That's awesome.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And Trina?
Thanks, Trina.
No, I was going to say thank you. Thank you for having me on. And I'm so excited for what we can all create. Showing up as something different. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. What are the possibilities? All right. Thank you.
Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.